In Iraq today, police said they had found the bodies of 49 soldiers from the new Iraqi army. Quoting Iraqi officials, the wire services reported that the soldiers had been shot and their bodies had been located about 30 miles outside of Bakuba near the Iranian border. A police commander was quoted as saying many of the victims had apparently been ordered to lie down before being shot. NPR's Ann Garrels joins us on the line from Baghdad. Ann, what more can you tell us about the Iraqi soldiers' bodies that have been found?
I think you pretty much summed up the details as much as we know right now. Police say the insurgents appear to have intercepted these young recruits as they were going on home leave from a training base. This is certainly the most brazen attack on Iraqi forces so far, and may be the single worst attack so far. It's unclear, just what effect it will have on the willingness of Iraqis to sign up for the security forces. So far, they've done it, even though they've fear for their life. Most attacks until now, though, they've been picking off Iraqi security forces with car bombs or roadside bombs, and this is a whole different kettle of fish.
And you've just returned this past week to Baghdad. What are your initial impressions on your return? I mean, what's changed the most in the 2.5 months you've been gone?
Clearly, the security situation. It's deteriorated here in Baghdad and the Sunni triangle north and west of the capital. With the onset of the holy month of Ramadan a week ago, attacks are reportedly up 25%. It's increasingly turning into a terror campaign with car bombs and assassinations directed against anyone who has anything to do with foreigners. And I think one of the biggest changes I've seen is that Iraqis are now much more nervous about having anything to do with foreigners. They fear reprisals even for speaking to a foreigner. Everyone is looking over their shoulder. Another change in the key city of Mosul in the north. We're getting more and more reports suggesting attempts by fundamentalists there to mandate behavior. Students have been threatened for not wearing headscarves, and there are reports of sort of unofficial checkpoints being set up on streets to determine if couples are indeed related or married.
Hostage taking has also increased in the past few months. The capture of CARE representative Margaret Hassan this past Tuesday is the most recent. How do the Iraqis that you speak to react to those kinds of incidents, especially when the hostage is an aid worker?
Well, in the case of Margaret Hassan, this has rocked both the international and the Iraqi communities. This is a woman who's lived here for 30 years. She's dedicated her life to helping poor Iraqis. Privately, Iraqis tell me they're ashamed that those who would call themselves Muslims have taken her. Sadly, though, many of those she's helped are simply too frightened to come out publicly in support of her, and this reflects the climate of fear which now pervades parts of the country. You know, it's not clear who's taken her. Her kidnappers have issued no demands so far. Hassan indicated in a wrenching video that the continued presence of British troops and their redeployment to back up Americans closer to Baghdad might be the reason she was taken.
Well, what about the American attempts to win the hearts and minds of the Iraqi people? How is that going?
Not very well. I mean, Iraqis say they live in fear, whether from criminals or from insurgents. So, 17 months after the U.S.-led military operations began here, most say they're worse off. They see the U.S. being in charge, even now, despite the handover of sovereignty, and they blame the Americans for just about everything. And, among the U.S. military and the U.S. embassy, there is open disdain for the way the occupation authority under Paul Bremer operated in the first year. And while the U.S. now says they're trying to make improvements, they acknowledge that it's going to take a lot of time. Let me give you an example of just how complicated the situation is here. The sewage system in the neighborhood of Al-Amal. It's a classic hearts and mind effort to improve the conditions. After improvements were made, Americans hoped for a nice ceremony outside the local elementary school, and they set up chairs. The principal of the school said, this is a mistake. As he said later, you're inviting the hunters to hunt. Two car bombs went off. 35 children were killed. Now, this in turn spawned conspiracy theories in the neighborhood that the bombing was somehow an American plot, that the Americans were responsible for it. And this is the way people start thinking.
How much more difficult is it to get around the city these days?
Oh, it's dramatically more difficult. It's unclear who the people are who oppose the U.S., who are the insurgents, and their targets are expanding to include not just U.S. military convoys, but those supplying the troops, those working with the new government, indeed anyone associated with foreigners, and that includes us, journalists. And in addition to two French journalists who've now been missing for 2 months, several others have been taken for a few hours or days, and happily they've been released. But many have been threatened, and now many European and Asian journalists have simply left the country altogether.
Elections are still set for January. Are Iraqis talking about that at all, or is it the insurgency that's the focus of people's attention?
Well, people are talking about the elections, but they're still a ways off, and people are still unclear as to how they're going to be held. And there's remarkable ignorance about just what these elections are really for. Most people here think they're going to be voting primarily for, principally for a prime minister, when in fact they're going to be voting for a parliament. Voter registration starts November 1st. It's going to be done in such a way that people really won't have to go out of their way. They're simply going to go pick up their food rations and confirm that the names of the family members over 18, will be voting or adding or subtracting names. So they're not going to have to go to another specific location. But at this point, most Iraqis say they've got little information or confidence in the main parties who have so far emerged. There's been almost no political activity, and because of the security conditions, it's unlikely there will be much political activity.
You mentioned the fear of the Iraqi people for the insurgency, but when you left in August, you said some Iraqis were getting increasingly angry at the insurgents. Is that anger still there?
Yes, but they're afraid to talk about it. Right after Sovereignty, they saw many more Iraqi police and National Guard on the streets, especially the streets of Baghdad. Well, those increased security forces have largely disappeared, and American officials now openly acknowledge that there aren't enough Iraqi security forces, they aren't well enough trained, and it's taken a long time to equip those who have been trained. And so, people, most Iraqis sort of see themselves caught between insurgents who they don't know and they're afraid of, and American troops and Iraqis who they feel can't protect them.
NPR's Anne Garrels in Baghdad. Anne, thank you very much.
Thank you.